7:04, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. Matt Barrows at 7:30, Grant at 8:05. Couple notes for you here. The Downtown Chowdown is coming October 29th, 10 to 4. It's right before the T-Wolves Kings game, so you can double up on that Saturday. Capitol Mall, downtown Sacramento. Enjoy over 30 food trucks and vendors, a craft beer garden, and performances by the Goo Goo Dolls, Thompson Square, and Nelly. Tickets on sale now at khtk.com. 1 hour in the books, two to go. If you missed hour number one, well, here's what you missed. More of that coming up at khtk.com. Got a couple things we want to get to here. I said a little breaking news with the Kings, and again, I didn't want to freak anybody out. It's not roster stuff because I know there's trade things going around. I love this. I love this story. The NBA has announced that subscribers to the NBA League Pass who purchase all the necessary equipment are going to be able to see a fully produced game in virtual reality live each week. The first game produced in virtual reality will be the home opener for your Sacramento Kings versus the San Antonio Spurs. And part of me went when I saw all the necessary equipment, I went, oh, really? Okay, so if I pay for a league pass and then I drop another $1,000, and then, actually, it's available with the Samsung Gear headset, and I just happen to know this because I just got my wife's phone. I have an iPhone. She has one of those Samsung dealy bobs.
Which one is it?
Which Samsung? Not the one that blows up.
Funny. I was looking at some flights on Southwest last night.
Yeah, you can't bring it.
And this is what pops up. It's a travel ban.
Yeah, you can't bring the Samsung phone.
Galaxy Note 7 smartphone is not allowed on airplanes because of their propensity to, I don't know, explode.
Catch on fire.
Yeah.
In this case, it's the other ones that you use. And I only know this, and it really surprised me, because I was at the store getting her new phone, and I saw one of those VR things, which basically you attach the smartphone to the deal, and then you put the headset on. It was like $50.
What?
Yeah, it's 50. It's like 50. It was $50 or $60 for the dealy bob that
what
you, it, you put
what does
on.
That say about me that I am less excited about a virtual reality headset or whatever to watch a basketball game than I am about the new little mini Nintendo? Like original Nintendo coming out here in a couple weeks.
Normally I
want to
hop on you and wait. Normally I want to jump.
Again.
Okay.
Isolate that.
Normally I would jump on you for that, but honest to God, I'm very excited about the Nintendo thing too.
I'm buying that.
Did you, Katie? I don't know. I don't think you did, Nate. Did you get to experience? Was it last year? Didn't we both go back? And Chris Granger put they were testing out the VR. Mm-hmm. They put the headsets on us, and my God. It was freaking amazing. The camera is right next to, it's between Vivek and Grant and Jerry.
At that arena,
at the old arena. It's going to be, from what I understand, the same type of vantage. Obviously, they're not on the floor, but you're going to be front and center at this arena. You put the headset on, you're sitting courtside. You look left, you look left. You look right, you look up, you look down. And then the cool thing was, if you turn and look behind you, you have a cool little graphic that has instant stats on it. So you turn your head a certain way, and you've got up-to-the-minute stats. It comes with its own commentary, which I don't understand that yet, why you wouldn't just pipe in Grant and Jerry.
Well, maybe that's what will be piped in is the home team broadcast.
Probably. Well, it said in the article, and this is Sam Amick of USA Today doing this, that they'll have their own separate commentary. That kind of caught my eye. I don't
I wonder if it's like League Pass where you can choose which broadcast listen to.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
I know it's one of those things where if I would not be as excited about this if I hadn't experienced this. And it's really for if somebody's never sat courtside before. Most people haven't. There's people all around the world that will never step foot in an NBA arena. I think that's awesome. And for an investment, you know, again, assuming you have the Samsung phone, and I know that's a big deal, but for $50-$60, if you've got the league pass,
that's a steal.
I'd love to. How great would it be to be in Boston? Oh, I'm gonna go check out the Celtics-Cavs game. I don't know if watching a whole game like that would make you dizzy, would give you a headache, would get you. I don't know that. I watched it for 5 minutes. But the 5 minutes I watched and the ability for me to look all around the arena, down on the floor, and see it all in beautiful detail and control the angles. I also, Nate, don't know if after the novelty of that wore off, if I'd rather have the professional camera angles, the replays, if I'm getting blocked by a 7-footer from my seat or a referee's ass is in my face. I don't know, but I think it's pretty cool, and I think it's really cool that it's that cheap. I think that's where sports are going, and I think in our lifetimes, it's going to be a bunch of people on a couch in a room with these giant space helmets on that are watching VR games.
Well, leagues have to start competing with that right now. I mean, that's, kind of the irony of this.
It's a younger generation.
Is you're coming up with these things that are going to be driving people out of arenas in some ways.
Yes.
And, you know, what they need to be careful of is not just letting that happen. I mean, you see some of the ways the NFL is trying to compete with people and the in-home viewing experience. I mean, that's an ongoing fight for all professional sports leagues.
It may come to a point, and you're 100% right, and we've seen it with the NFL and some other and most leagues in general. We've had this argument about, why don't I just stay home and watch the games?
Mm-hmm.
No bathroom lines, hot dogs are a buck, if that. You know, I can do whatever I want. They're getting closer and closer. You can't replicate the game experience.
But that's the point right there.
But you're getting a lot damn closer.
Yeah, but it's an interesting experience to do it through VR.
Right.
But it's not even close to the same as being in an arena.
Sure.
But because part of being in an arena is not only to witness what's going on, but it's all of the other things. And I think that's an interesting thing actually about the Golden One Center is – it's got so much stuff for fans to partake in.
Yes.
You know, what your favorite part, Nate, is what the Sierra Nevada clubhouse,
draft house,
whatever. Yeah, there's an experience of being in a building with fans.
Agreed.
With fans that is different than sitting on your couch.
Agreed.
With your dog.
I think the question, though, is there's no doubt about it. In a perfect world, you're 100% right. But when you start weighing the cost.
Yeah.
Versus that, how close are you getting? And how far away are we, by the way, from having? And I think this is going to also happen in our lifetime. Let's say you're watching the game on VR. How far are we away from having stuff like fans that are blowing on us, like actual electrical fans that have all kinds of liquids inside of them that can replicate smells from the game?
Oh,
and that and if they're actually hooked up to the system, let's say to your TV or cable box or remotely or to the internet, you actually have a smell producer. I know this sounds funny, but you actually have a scent producer that can replicate scents, whether it's popcorn, cotton candy, the smell of the arena, et cetera, whatever, that's replicated through that fan to get a more immersive experience. You're just knocking out senses, sight, sound, hearing, smell. You can't really be touched.
I get it, and maybe I'm old school on this, but it's sad if we're going to a place where taking away actual human experience and getting outside of your house is something we're going away from.
Yeah, no,
I mean, the younger generation is already so different socially. That's scary to me.
You know, the main point on your side, though, too, by the way, you can't hang out after the game at one of the many different bars and establishments on your VR headset, okay? Yeah, I'm going to be pounding beers at Malt and Mash.
That'd be pretty sweet if you could, though.
Wouldn't it, though? Oh, by the way, start thinking down those lines when we start getting into VR and the potential there.
Forget drunk driving when you can just stay home and
be with
all your buddies at the bar.
Hey, sweetheart.
You're eliminating that.
I'm going to head to the strip club. I'll be right back.
Oh, Dave, yeah. You went there.
Start thinking of the possibilities. We'll take a break. Come back as promised. We'll get in this Raiders relocation into four down territory on the drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Always good to hear the voice of one Roger Goodell. We've asked it before, but do you see any way the Raiders are in Oakland in 3 years?
You know, other than the there's always a way, never say never, so you're saying there's a chance type of stuff? No. And this has been cooking for a while. Mark Davis wants out. He's got to placate his fans. He can't scorch the earth because he's going to have to play in Oakland for 2 years. So he's going to say the occasional thing that Raiders fans are obviously going to want to hang their hat on, and that's understandable. You're dealing with a lot of a fan base that's hurt and frustrated and sad, and I don't blame them. But he's managed to get $750 million out of the state of Nevada, Sheldon Adelson being involved, and the NFL finding a solution there. It's not going to be easy. You've got the betting. You've got all the different things going on, but here's what he has. He has the money, and he has Jerry Jones. The Raiders will be playing in Las Vegas in 3 years.
I love the fact that Jerry Jones is like the godfather of the NFL.
He is.
I mean, is that really the indication that it's going to – you mentioned it, Dave. It's all about the money.
Yeah.
If you have the money, that's what's going to happen. Now, there are questions that remain. I just think that they're questions that they're going to have to find solutions to. It's not going to be questions like the gambling and the fan base, the local fan base there, that are going to prevent this from happening.
Hi, Nate.
Turn my mic on. Hey. There's no chance that they're going to be in Oakland. All you have to look to is the statement released by Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf yesterday. Here's part of it. Quote, I cannot afford for us to be thrown off our game because Nevada lawmakers have deemed it appropriate to put $750 million in public money towards a private sports facility. While I'm committed to keeping the Raiders, I will not enter into a bidding war with Nevada using public funds.
Exactly.
End of story.
Well, and that's the thing.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong. And one of the underlying factors as to why the Sacramento Kings stayed in Sacramento is because the team got $250 million as a donation or as a part of the public-private partnership towards the arena. We're talking about $750 million. It's not just for the Raiders. Mm-hmm. It's for the rest of the owners who mm-hmm. need new arenas to go to their state lawmakers and say, I want $750 million too. That's way too much money to pass up.
What's better than one Roger Goodell sound clip?
Oh.
Two yeah. Roger Goodell sound clips. Well, he says that the league's looking at a 10% drop in ratings. What's your explanation for all this?
I think it's a variety of things, and I think that Roger Goodell has a large part to play in it. He is maybe one of the most hated people in sports, and I think he doesn't want to take the blame for alienating a lot of these NFL fans because he's a complete moron. However, I think that week one is really the only week I can think of that had a lot of close games that were interesting to watch. There hasn't been a lot of great games, and especially in prime time. And when you look at the cost of like NFL season pass, I don't know if those play into the ratings, but it's freaking expensive.
There are two causes to me that go hand in hand, and that's the penalties and a lack of star power. Between Tom Brady being out and Peyton Manning retiring, those were the two biggest faces in the entire NFL. Arguably some of the most famous players and most marketable players the league has ever seen. So between that and the fact that, you know, you got to flag people for any sort of display of personality now. Antonio Brown can't wear whatever cleats he wants. This no fun league stuff is finally starting to get to people. Right. And so that combined with the fact that there are not marketable stars that the NFL has attached itself to right now. And I think that's what it is. People are just, we don't know who these guys are. And this product sucks. Why am I going to watch?
I agree with both of you. I'll add this. Doesn't it just seem like there aren't that very many compelling matchups right now in the mm-hmm. NFL? And that's part of what you get with parity. You know, you don't have Niners.
How much of that is the star power?
Right. I was going to say Niners Cowboys. That was like 30 years ago. But you all, you know, even Broncos Chiefs or Eagles Redskins, et cetera. There's just not a lot of games out there where you go, oh my God, I have to see that game. Mm-hmm. It's just not there.
Dez Bryant cut his fingers slicing carrots. What's your all-time favorite sports injury?
Man, there are so many, so many good ones. But I think my favorite is former Giants and Cubs outfielder Glenn Allen Hill, who was so scared to death of spiders that he once startled himself awake during a dream where he was being attacked by spiders and fell through a glass table.
Arachnophobia is a real thing.
Very, very real.
I will have to stay local. The term Nintendonitis was coined because of Lionel Simmons of the Sacramento Kings. Lionel Simmons missed basketball games because he had thumb tendonitis. It was later found that he developed that tendonitis because of his Nintendo addiction back in the late 80s, 90s, whenever it was. And it was coined Nintendonitis. That's always stuck in my head.
Nintendonitis.
Yes.
I don't know. Jason Pierre-Paul and the firework situation is one that's always going to be at the top of my list. But Jeremy, what is it? Affelt. Yeah. Affleck. I want to say Affleck every time. The number of injuries he has had from playing with his kids is mind-boggling. How does a professional athlete stumble into this many injuries playing with children?
Don't have kids.
Is that
great point right there.
Well, nothing solves a rating problem like Thursday Night Football. Packers and Bears.
Go, Pack, go!
Over under on Rodgers' touchdown passes for tonight.
I think he gets healthy here at Lambeau. I think he's been properly pissed off just like he was last year when he made a similar comment about chill out or whatever it was. Now it's I'm going to have some scotch and all that. I think that's the switch Aaron Rodgers puts on. He's 3-2. He's got the Bears at home. This is where he helps up. I'm going to put the over under at 3.5.
Are you over, taking the over? Or touch,
I'll take the over.
Touchdown passes. You're putting. Okay.
Yeah. I would say the over under is at 3.5, and I would take the over.
I'll take the over. Under. I got to take the over. I thought, and he'll probably do it with like 45 pass attempts.
I'm going to take the under just because I think they're going to blow out the Bears early in this one. I think it's going to get bad, and he's not going to have to throw the ball, even without Eddie Lacy.
You don't
think
he's going to be trying to prove a point, though?
Yeah.
To Packers fans that booed him last week?
No, because it's not about him. It's about Mike McCarthy being one of the most spineless coaches in the NFL. Listen, 3-2 is not a crisis, and it certainly isn't a crisis when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. I get that they've been stumbling a little bit in terms of their play, but make no mistake, the only reason that anyone is I guess panicking over the Packers is because they know that Mike McCarthy is not long for this job. They want him out. They know this guy should have more than one ring with Aaron Rodgers. The whispers are getting louder and louder. That's all it is.
We're way late. We'll take a break. Grant Napier coming up next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Hey. Hello, Gloria Estefan. Four Down Territory brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Whether it's the original Italian, Jersey Shore's favorite, or Jersey Mike's famous Philly cheesesteak, their subs are served Mike's way, fresh, cold, or grilled hot. Check out the grand opening of their new location, October 26th on Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center. Also, 7:36, time to help fund scholarships for U.S. veterans. Donate to the Help a Hero program at a Sport Clips near you. What are you laughing at?
This song. I mean, this is Miami Sound Machine, right? I mean, it's her, but this is specifically Miami Sound Machine, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. Just the lovely, talented voice of Gloria Estefan.
This was on the way to work yesterday, and I definitely rocked out.
You know, it's funny you say that because I was going to fill our first dumb segment with this was my question coming in. On the way in, I had a random playlist playing, and Against All Odds by Phil Collins came on. And I started thinking.
Love Phil Collins.
That's what I'm thinking. Phil Collins, over or underrated?
Under. Big time.
I think agree.
It depends. Yeah.
I don't know.
I forget sometimes how great Phil Collins was. Like, I know it's an 80s
Amazing.
Thing probably, but.
But his music is still good now.
I agree.
It will never not be good.
You're not a. You're,
what?
No,
never.
I mean. Well, I mean, you say, like, still good now. Like, yeah, you can listen to some of it, but have you ever heard a Phil Collins song and not been like, that's from the 80s?
Well, yeah. I mean, let me bring in a guy who was, I mean, I was definitely with it a little bit in the 80s. I was still young. I think Grant turned 40.
Cecilio or Go Home.
Yeah. Grant had his 40th birthday party, I believe, 1985, and I'm not sure if Phil Collins was playing there or not. Grant, Phil Collins, over or underrated?
I love Phil Collins, man.
Thank you.
So, you know, underrated.
Underrated. It came on the radio this morning, and I just started thinking that Phil doesn't get the credit he deserves. While we're on the subject, I know you're a Doobie Brothers fan.
Yeah.
I've never gone deeper than that, though. Like, if I was to roll into your beautiful Lexus, and I was to get into that iPod you have, what else would I find in there besides Phil Collins and Doobie Brothers?
Well, you know, I never have my iPod in my beautiful Lexus, which I'm in right now, because I have 1140 on all the time.
Yeah. Right answer.
I mean,
damn it.
You know, what's wrong with you? You know what? Honestly, on my iPod, you wouldn't believe it. You really would not believe it. You'd make fun of me for, honestly, forever, which is twice as long as you do now. But you wouldn't believe it. I have every genre of music, from smooth jazz to classic rock to, I mean, I have every single type of music with the exception, okay? I don't have rap on my iPod. I don't really care for that. But I have, you know, again, soft jazz. I'm a huge fan of the Jazzmasters and Boney James and, you know, that whole, you know, group of music. I love Peter White and I love, you know, Wayman Tisdale when he used to come to the Radisson and play in the concerts. I mean, I love that type of music. But, you know, I also have, you know, Bon Jovi on my iPod. I have, you know, Doobie Brothers. I have I have everything on there. I really do. And I listen to pretty much it equally. Now, when I'm flying late at night, I normally will listen on the King's Plane to smooth jazz because it puts me right to sleep. And then I just leave it on and I'm able to sleep for a couple of hours. But I really have just about everything on there. I mean, I have, you know, Kool & the Gang. I have the Spinners. I have Earth, Wind & Fire on there.
Yeah.
I mean, I have all kinds of different music.
So one of the craziest things is at the games, Grant, I obviously have an earpiece in, which a lot of people don't realize because, you know, they come up, they try to talk to you, you have an earpiece in. So I hear you and Jerry all the time. I would say there is a good number of times each game where I am laughing out loud at something the two of you have said. And one of the funniest things that conversations that ever happened is when you were talking to Jerry about Iggy Azalea when we were playing the Lakers. It was hilarious. But so you're trying to tell me you don't have Iggy Azalea on your iPad?
You know what? I don't have Iggy on there. I do not. I do not. And first of all, you guys will get a real kick. Well, you probably won't get a kick out of this. I have no idea how to put music on my iPod. So Mrs. Napier does that. We sit down and I go, okay, can you put this on? She goes, okay, can you put this on? Can you? So I have no idea how to do it. So, you know, generally, and I just told her, we went out for a walk yesterday. I go, hey, babe, you know, I got to put some new music on for this year. She goes, okay, we'll do it. So, because I don't know how to do that.
So when you say like everything from smooth jazz to classic rock, it's kind of like we got both kinds, country and Western.
Absolutely. You know what? You're a beauty. Are you still married, by the way?
No, I'm not, actually. Not anymore. He's gone. Not after last week.
Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. You know, no big deal. I do have country on my iPod, too. I forgot to mention that.
If you guys are in town, and I underline that because you're probably not, but if you're in town, Grant, what are the chances of you, me, the wives, or just you and me, we make it a boys' night, what are the chances of us going to catch Bon Jovi at Golden One?
Yeah, really good. Like, really, really good. You
that
know,
would be unbelievable.
The reason why I like Bon Jovi so much is in the late 80s and the Monday Night Football, I was down on the sideline for both the Monday Night games that the Giants and the 49ers had at Candlestick Park. And I still say to this day, and I had Ronnie Lott on about a year ago, and I told him that the one Monday night game that I was on the sideline, the final score was 7-3. And I told Ronnie, I said, you know, Ronnie, that's still to this day, and I've been watching the NFL since the early 60s. That's one of the very best games that I've ever seen. And he goes, you know, it's amazing you say that because that's one of my favorite three games that I've ever played in. And Bon Jovi was on the New York Giants sideline both times that I was, because he grew up as a big Giants fan. So that's another reason why I like Bon Jovi. But no, I do like Bon Jovi. Yeah, but yeah, I'm all in for sure.
Well, Grant, we have a big, big night tomorrow night, actually, at the Golden One Center. Oh. We've got the King's Gala tomorrow night, and Gwen Stefani is going to be performing. Can you name a Gwen Stefani song?
I cannot. I cannot name a Gwen Stefani.
Can you spell banana?
I can't, though.
I'm sure, though, if, like, you know, when the songs come out, oh, yeah, well, I know that. But I'm terrible with names of songs and everything. You know, you're asking the wrong person. How about you? Can you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My stereo goes up to 75 when Hollaback Girl comes on.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I know that song. Grant,
you know what? Honestly, if Gwen Stefani, and I really mean this, you know, like I'm on my way to the gym right now. If I walked into the gym and Gwen Stefani was sitting at the door, I probably would just go high and would walk in. I wouldn't even know who she is.
Grant Napier joining us, and proof positive that Grant and I are true friends. There's no rivalry or anything like that. And this is actually a very, very difficult day for me, and it's made even more difficult by the fact that Grant is coming on, but my friendship with him makes it a little less bittersweet because we are talking to the newly crowned Sacramento Magazine.
That's right.
2016 Sports Broadcaster of the Year.
Nice.
Taking the award from me last year, he destroyed me this year.
Did you win this last year?
Did I just screw it up for you?
Well, you know what? Well, first of all,
I'm a reigning champ.
Congratulations to you. I honestly, and I really mean this.
Don't worry about it.
I was not aware of that, so that's pretty unbelievable. And it's also, had I known that a year ago, I would have retired from the business. I would have said, well, wait a minute, okay, you know, okay. I have really fallen in my career. And at that point, Tom, I would have said, hey, I went as long as I could go, and it's time to do something else.
It's
so
been a
thank
good
God
run.
That I didn't know, because I wouldn't be working right now, and you wouldn't be talking to me on the radio. So that, you know, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. You won Best Sportscaster last year, seriously? Did you? I don't really know what. You know what? Gosh, I guess Nate, you're going to win it next year. Katie, you got it the year after that. Okay.
Honestly, it came up on my Facebook memories feed or whatever. It was the shot
you're
of
the radio sportscaster.
Yeah, radio sportscaster of the year. Exactly. Grant got it, so it stays in the KHDK family.
There you go. We like that. And my wife.
Huh?
Go ahead.
No,
I was going to say, I didn't even know I won until my wife put it out on Twitter yesterday.
That's how I found out you won. And so I retweeted it and put it out there on Facebook and all that. And honestly, I think we can say that last year was an anomaly. They finally got it right. And now all of a sudden, you got to go get a tux. You got to have a speech ready. You know, you got something else for your mantle.
Wait, really? You got to do all that?
That's a big deal.
What a shame.
Well, you know, we moved, and I say this, and you know, because first of all, anytime anybody recognizes you, it's great. Anyone that tells you otherwise is lying. But I have we moved into this new house, and in my casita is where I have my TVs, where I watch all my football on Sundays, and we have not touched the room yet, and my wife has. As you well know, since you are the reigning champ until 2 days ago, right. They give you a really nice plaque with the cover of the magazine and your name on there.
Yes.
And I'm not you know, I've been doing this a long time, but I have tons of those in my that she has laid out on the floor in the casita because she wants to put them up on the wall. I go, I don't really want those up on the wall. She goes, no, babe, we got to decorate this room and make it into a sports room, and these are all your awards. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to win that battle or not. But I will
you're
say
gonna
this
lose.
I will say this, though. I really mean this about Sacramento Magazine. They give you, when you win awards for whatever the case may be, they're really beautiful,
yeah.
You know, large plaques. You know what I'm talking about,
yeah,
Dave. I mean, they really are. They're very well done. And, like, if you go into McCooney's, he's got tons of them on his wall, and they really do look good. It's not like some cheesy little thing. They actually look beautiful.
So I wear mine around my neck.
It's nice. Sacramento Magazine does a great job at that.
I wish they'd do a thing where when you go up and you're presented with it, I wish it was like the Masters. How cool would that be?
Because
I want to be on stage, and then I can, like, put the award on you, and then it's just a carried-on thing. And then, you know, when Nate or Katie win it next year, same thing.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, there's nothing that you would be putting on me that you have worn before.
Exactly.
Okay? So let's make sure we have an understanding, all right? That's not happening. All right? I mean, so that's not a really good idea, you know? I'd probably die of smoke inhalation, and no way. I wouldn't be able to walk back into my house. So, no, that's not happening. I'm very happy with the memento they give us. Again,
yes,
they do a great job,
they do.
And it's all good. So,
great name,
you know,
you're joining.
Hey, by the way, do you realize, I know that you do, but
yes.
You know, I don't, you know, I just realized that, you know, this is Thursday, and next Thursday at this time,
yep,
can you just imagine? I've already looked at the extended weather forecast because I'm like, please, God, don't let it rain. It's not supposed to rain. It's supposed to be a little cool. Temperatures, you know, in around 66, 67, but sunny. So I'm wondering, you know, like, will the festivities start in the morning next Thursday? Will they start around noon?
We'll be out there broadcasting.
What?
Yeah, all right, great. Because I'll tell you this. We play in Phoenix tonight before Katie. You and I will be getting home late. And then,
yes,
gosh, good Lord for you getting up that early. But I'm going to be getting downtown. I'm going to try to get downtown that day and have lunch. You know, like, try to really take in the whole day. And then I'm actually – then we'll be doing the show at 3. And then I'm actually spending the night in Sacramento downtown next Thursday. We've already gotten a hotel because I'm like, you know what? I want to enjoy – this day, and I want to enjoy the game, and after, I want to enjoy the whole thing. So I honestly, I can't wait for next Thursday.
Will you be doing that, enjoying that with 12 ounces, 22 ounces, or 44 ounces?
You know, a lot depends on how the game goes.
So 44.
Yeah, thank you to the NBA. Thank you to the NBA for putting the San Antonio Spurs as our home opener, right?
I know, what a gift, right?
Oh,
it is.
Hey,
absolutely.
Speaking of the opener, Sam Amick broke it today, and maybe you already knew this, Grant, I don't know, but the NBA is rolling out their virtual reality broadcast games on League Pass this year. Once a week, a fully produced game will be shown on virtual reality. And I believe, I think you have a Samsung phone. I'm not sure. But if you do,
yes,
you can get the $50 or $60 dongle, the thing you wear on your head,
really?
And you can watch the game in virtual reality. And the first game that the NBA is going to be showing on virtual reality, you'll be able to turn right to your right and see your red head and Jerry's gray head and everything else, because Sacramento and San Antonio is the first game they're doing.
All right, so listen to me real quickly. If I put the game on my phone, all right, while I'm announcing the game, will that confuse me? Will I be able to do the game if I'm watching the game with, you know, in live and I'm watching on my phone at the same time? Will that be a cool way to do the game? Or
that would be the weirdest sensation,
don't
you think?
The world would implode, and I also think there's probably a delay, so it might be fine for you, but it would confuse the rest of us listening.
All right.
Gosh,
I wonder
if they're going to make me put on one of those crazy headsets
definitely.
Do something on the sideline.
Absolutely. Sure. There's no question about it.
I'm seriously the dummy for it. Now, Grant, mentioning, you know, your idea, by the way, is brilliant to be able to enjoy that. I'm just hoping I can get through it awake, because I am going to be tired that day. But do you get as much... Shut up, Nate. Do you get as much crap over what you're going to be wearing on opening night as I do?
I don't know what you're going to be wearing opening night. So,
well, neither do I. But apparently, it's a big topic. Now, are you going to be in a tux? Because apparently, this is a necessity.
Yeah.
Well, are you asking me? Because if I say yes, you're going to wear a tux, I'm a little confused.
I wish I could wear a tux.
Why couldn't you?
Why not?
Ugh.
That'd be awesome.
I have a hard enough time finding clothes.
I wouldn't suggest Katie wear a tux. I mean, yeah, could you? Yeah, you could. But I don't think that's the right look for you, Katie. I really don't. Dave, it's really not. It's Dave. No. It's not the right look for you either. Okay, so
Katie. What a dress.
No. I am gonna wear a tux because I'll tell you why, Katie. I did the very first game mm-hmm. in the old building in November of 1988, and I'll never forget. I went that day. I was very excited to pick up my tux. Because I had to rent it. They only paid me for the wins that I did back then, so I was making about $2,500 a year. And I rented my tux, and I'll never forget, getting ready for that game. And, again, that arena was literally in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. You had to navigate your way around the sheep and everything. And it was it's a night that I'll never forget in November of 1988, and I was blessed to do the very first game there. And so here I can't believe that we're opening up a new building. And so yeah, I'm going to carry on the tradition. I know one thing: I will not be around for the opening of the next new arena. So yes, I will be wearing a tux. Jerry's going to be wearing a tux.
Oh, see, I figured he'd wear his green Masters jacket.
You know what? Knowing Jerry, that is his tux. You know, he'll probably just put a bow tie on and he'll be good to go. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We will be wearing tuxes. That's 100%. Wow. I mean, think how special this day is. And I know that we've been in there, some of us, for concerts, and some of us were in there for the Clippers game on Tuesday night. But, hey, this is the real deal. You know, you're going to have the commissioner there. You're going to have the former commissioner there. All the dignitaries, all the celebration. Yeah, it's special.
Got to pick up my game for opening night.
Mm-hmm. I told you, man.
I said I was going to wear purple. Tux. Which is apparently all that is required.
Yes.
But if they're wearing tuxes, man.
Well, what are you
going
to do?
Nate, are you going to the game?
Yeah, I got a nice pair of jeans to go with my tux shirt.
You going to trim the beard a little bit, bro? What are you going to do?
Listen, the beard is gone.
He shaved,
man.
It
this morning.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
really? Was that part of getting married, or has that been recently?
No, that's why my marriage ended.
Okay. No, well, hey, you know, listen, you know what? You made it 6 weeks. Don't worry. There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I mean, that's pretty good, right? We can still get an annulment.
Yeah, all good.
Hey, Grant, want to ask you a real sports question for a second.
Oh, God.
I know.
No,
I'm sorry.
Why would you do that?
Hey, listen, we are the home of the Raiders. We carry the Raiders. Grant, you're a Giants fan. I'm a Niners fan. But we both agree that the Raiders have a passionate fan base, and it is awesome to see what they're doing. And I prelude that only because I know with what we went through with the Kings, there's a lot of people that it might be a little bit painful to talk about this. But do you see any legitimate way for the Raiders to not be in Las Vegas in 3 years?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I really don't. I mean, I think it's as we just went through, I mean, as long as the team is still playing in Oakland, they're still in Oakland. And as long as the team's still in Oakland, there's always a chance. But I don't see any way in the world that the team is going to stay in Oakland, because I just don't see how on earth they're going to come up with the necessary funds to build a stadium. And it's very similar to what we just went through here in Sacramento. As much as the NBA loves Sacramento and wanted the Kings to stay in Sacramento, I believe the NFL ultimately would love the Raiders to stay in Oakland. I think that they want the Raiders to stay. I don't think they want their franchises moving. But if there's no stadium deal, then they have no choice. They have to let the team leave. And had we not been able to build the beautiful Golden 1 Center, well, obviously the Kings wouldn't have kept the NBA wouldn't have kept the Kings here. So I don't see – I mean, I'll tell you this, Dave. Do I think the Raiders are going to be in Oakland in 3 years? Yes, I do. Would I fall off my chair if they were in L.A. in 3 years? Absolutely not. No, I wouldn't. Now, I don't think the NFL wants the Raiders in L.A., but I think both of those cities would be ahead of Oakland by a long distance right now.
You said Oakland in 3 years. You meant Las Vegas, right?
Las Vegas or L.A.?
Gotcha.
I beg your pardon.
Gotcha.
It's early for me. I'm not used to doing it.
Yeah, I understand.
Yes, I meant Las Vegas. Thank you for correcting me, which is actually a very healthy thing. That means you're actually listening to what I'm saying.
Well, I am the reigning 2015 radio sportscaster of the year, Grant.
That is true. How many votes did your kids put in on that one?
Seriously.
It's my mother, and you know it's my mother. You've met my mother. You know,
yeah,
she was tough in the box.
There's no question. There's no doubt about that. But no, I mean, I can't see the Raiders staying in Oakland. I can't. And it's a shame. You know, we're talking about, you know, a city that obviously has, you know, major issues And I don't see, you know, we keep on hearing Ronnie a lot in his group, and I love Ronnie. And I'll tell you one thing about Ronnie, man. He's a hell of a businessman, and he knows a lot of people, and I think it's great. But it's kind of like I said to Doug on the show yesterday, show me the money. They're running out of time. They better show the NFL something that is concrete, that is there, and they better do it real soon. And, you know, we're talking about basically $1 billion.
Grant Napier on every day, Monday through Friday, that is, 3 o'clock with Doug Christie. Tell Doug to perk up, by the way.
Yeah,
get some
energy.
Yeah,
he doesn't have enough enthusiasm.
Come on. He's on the radio. Tell him to a little excitement every once in a while. You know,
he is a little excited. You know, even during the commercial breaks, I gotta calm him down a little bit.
Like,
so
simmer down.
It's good. He's great. He's such a nice. You know, honestly, we all know. I'm not saying anything that you guys don't know. He's such a great person. I mean, he's just down to the bones a great person. There's nothing bad about him in his body. He's just a great person. So I love doing it with him. He's great.
And he works his butt off, which is refreshing for a former player.
You know what it's like doing my radio show with G-Man, you know, in terms of his preparation, you know,
yes.
How G-Man, you know, Katie, you know, because on the plane,
yeah.
We get on the plane and he takes out his, you know, manila folders and he starts writing everything down and he's so prepared. Doug's like that. Doug is the most prepared person I've ever worked with the exception of, you know, last year's radio sportscaster of the year. Preparation,
yeah.
I think, to Dave. You know what I'm saying? Dave, you can relate to that, can't you?
Oh,
yeah.
Of course.
I mean, can.
Just getting
thanks,
smothered.
Grant.
It's Bon Jovi. It's the Doobie Brothers and it's Grant Napier. Buddy, have fun today at 3. Thanks for coming on.
All right. You all take care.
Okay. Bye-bye. That's Grant Napier. Matt Barrows is next. We're right back as we continue the third hour of The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.